always kept locked. It was the garage.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive into drinking if you don't stop driving.
Now you're running car.
Tell him it's your car and you do what you want with it. I own this car. I do as I please. I also own the highway. My taxes paid for that. They're both mine. I own the highway and I own the car. I own everything out here.
Big trouble. That's the rookie Suarez up and over Regan Smith, the big one in the trial.
Welcome to the Throwing Wrenches Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Throwing Wrenches Podcast. This is Eric Stahl.
And I'm Daryl Scott, and you're listening to the auto podcast, The Peoria is Racing and Showing in Peoria. Eric, what's this about?
I figure we're the only podcast actually out there in the field getting dirty, whether it's showing cars or racing cars. We're those guys, right?
Yeah, we're all the events. We're on the media.
Yeah.
I don't know. We try. We're still working on the catchphrase, right?
Yes, exactly. That's just one more catchphrase in the barrel of catchphrases.
All right. This episode, as is every episode, is sponsored by some wonderful sponsors who are kind enough to lend their talents and their treasure to help keep this whole menagerie afloat.
So NPR of you to say treasure.
We'd love to say thanks to the Casey Law Office. They are available for all of your legal needs. Eric, you got a little disclaimer here, right?
Yeah, Casey Law Office, that's clopeoria.com. Sorry, Gabe, got to get that right every time. clopeoria.com. That stands for Casey Law Office Peoria. If you don't know, Casey will handle your consumer law, your malpractice, wills, trusts, estates, workers' compensation, contract law, and general practice. I have a story about I was in a non-compete clause years ago and had talked to a lawyer. I can tell you that is no fun. So if you're in a situation like that, Gabe Casey's your guy.
Give him a call or visit clopeoria.com. And we also would like to say a quick thank you to Fort's Toyota of Pekin for sponsoring the Throwing Wrenches podcast, longtime supporter and listener of the show. And I'm sure he's got some feedback for us.
Right? He did have some feedback. But don't forget, Fort's Toyota, it's in North Pekin, Illinois. We say it's 15 minutes from anywhere, right between Morton and Peoria, not too far from Bloomington. Forts-Pekin.com. They sell new and used Toyotas. We service all that stuff. And I say we because I work at Forts Toyota, and we're coming to you tonight from the lovely Forts Toyota Studios.
This is Studio C, right?
Studio Forts, I think we have to call it.
Okay, Studio Fort.
Yeah.
There you go.
So thanks to Forts for their sponsorship. Make sure you check out Forts-Toyota.com, like I said, for all your new and used Toyota needs and service and parts as well.
We're also a member of the Peoria Podcast Alliance. Eric and I have not been to a meeting since 1988.
They canceled the meetings last week. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
It's probably our fault.
It is. We're not very active participants there, but we'll make it up. As soon as they, change the meeting night, we can make that.
Yeah, I think that's what I basically said.
Yeah.
If you don't know, Daryl F. Scott, the F is for phenomenal. And if you don't know what that means, Google it. Anyway, this guy's a radio veteran, the classic car genius. Daryl is the Rain Man of Hemming Motors News, and as Jake found out two episodes ago, if you don't show up with your A game, this guy is going to throw down on you. So, Daryl Scott, genius.
Useless trivia, taking up a lot of space in my giant head. And Eric Stahl, if you're unfamiliar with his wizardry, he's a service manager, one of the finest Toyota dealers in all the land. The cat's out of the bag. It's right here at Forts. And we would like to also just credit his fountain of knowledge of all things Toyota, from early 90s Celica all-track turbos to late model TRD off-road monsters, and even the really cool van that's out in the parking lot.
The Toaster.
What do they even call those?
Van.
Toyota van. They're so creative. This is pre-Previa, folks. It looks like the bread box.
That's
awesome.
Like the pre-Tacoma. It was called Pickup.
You'll like our other models, Pickup and Van. Seriously, he's got service plans for days and days. Check him out. He is the man with the plans. Eric Stahl.
Thanks, buddy. All right. So, again, thanks for listening. And share this. Social media means a lot to us. So if you want to share that on Facebook, share on Instagram, I don't care. Share it on LinkedIn. I share it on LinkedIn.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think I'm friends with you. I keep saying, do you know Eric Stahl? Like,
what,
I know
what
him.
What does it matter? It's LinkedIn. Unless you're scanning for a job, that's the only reason you're on LinkedIn anyway.
LinkedIn is Facebook for adults.
Yeah, but they got to pay. I don't know.
Only if you want to take the LinkedIn learning classes, which we probably should do on how to make a podcast. Sorry. I'm kidding.
All right. If you know somebody who has an interesting hobby or job that's car-related, we'd love to talk to them. We had some feedback this week, and I had a friend of mine tell me that he loves the show, but he says he really loves the interview shows. So they're in luck tonight because we have Joe here, so we'll be talking to Joe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you get some feedback there?
I did. We got kind of the same thing. We need to do more interviews. They like the interviews. The guests are always fun because, I mean, as fun as it is for just you and I to sit and yammer on about stuff.
That's what it sounds like. It's like, I like listening to you guys, but I really like when somebody else mixes it up.
You guys are funny to a point.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other thing, a good friend of mine, longtime listener since episode one, said that we need to do an all trucks show. So I can get behind that.
We can do all truck news and all truck stuff. Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm sure we can find somebody who's all truck related. So.
We could break it down by gross vehicle weight rating. No, I'm kidding.
There you go.
CDL, an all CDL show.
Yeah, that's there you go. There's the inner geek creeping back out.
All right.
Nerd.
So we have a guest tonight, Eric.
Yes, I'd like to welcome Joe Pfister. Welcome, Joe.
First of all, it's Pfister, not
Thank
Pfister.
You. Thank you.
Pfister.
I mean, Pfister's an aggressive name.
That works. Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Joe, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Joe, actually, he's one of the first people I ever met when I first creeped out on autocross. I think the first time I ever went was at Pekin Airport, and Joe was leading the charge out there. And I didn't know anything.
He didn't know Jack.
No. Okay. So guys like Joe, you know, we talked to Dean before, and Dean's similar situation, you know, leading me around by the nose. But Joe was actually the guy when I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And thank God he actually got me prepped for Dean. But Joe's doing a great job. He runs the Central Illinois SCCA, so we're happy to have him here on the show. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
So, and how long have you been autocross? And we'll get more into this, but I mean, racing has kind of always been part of your
life. Yeah,
right?
So racing has been with me for a very long time. Actually, I remember being 16, young and dumb. Me and my brother would take our cars. He had a '94 Mustang GT. I had a 1990 Taurus SHO.
Ooh.
And
there was a couple shows.
Yeah.
Father's Day.
There was a couple shows there, Father's Day. We'd take them down Farmdale Road, if you know where that's at.
The reservoir there.
Yep,
yeah.
Farmdale Road Reservoir, before they did all the rework.
Before it was a nice road.
Yes. That's where we would run. And we would run, we'd have a couple of guys meet us out there, and we'd run on time. So it's kind of got me into doing autocross. And then I ended up meeting my wife, and her whole family's been in SCCA forever, so
nice.
Kind of just followed in.
Yeah, we'll get more into that because I'm interested in that story. I don't even know how you get – I've never even heard of a story like this, so I'm looking forward to talking about Missy, your wife.
For sure.
Yeah, everybody loves it when you talk about your wife behind their back. I mean, that's just one of the same things.
Yeah, I got to be careful with that, though. She's pretty good with that shotgun.
What is that? There's a line. There's a Three Stooges line. How dare you talk about me behind my back? I'll turn around. I'll talk about you in front of you or something like that. That's kind of what we're doing here. And we start usually the show here off with Eric and I usually bounce back a couple of projects we're working on. So we'll get to that here. Eric, what are you working on?
So it's – well, first off, I don't know if I talked really – we talked about autocross at Mossville, but I don't know if I talked about how bad my car was leaking.
Your power steering hose.
Okay. Yeah. So we did talk about that. All right. So I'm going to go right past that.
Did you fix it?
No.
Did you have someone else fix it?
No.
Will you have someone else?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, but I don't want to get into it too deep because I'm not even sure that I should have been racing the final races out there, how much oil is dumping on the pavement.
Well, and yeah, there's that. There's
You're lucky I didn't see it.
Yeah, probably so. Well, yeah, anyway. No, the one thing I was going to bring up, and I'm going to make it real short and sweet because we're not talking about cars here. That stupid diesel tractor I was dealing with a couple episodes ago.
Kubota?
Yeah, my Kubota. I took it down to Rolf's Implement down in Hartsburg. Shout out to them. They didn't pay any publicity here. But they essentially did – that's the AC kicking on, which I'm thankful for because it's like 180 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the whine of the AC.
It's good.
But
so
no,
you took it down to Rolf's.
I took it down to Rolf's, and all they said they did was replace a fuel filter – take out stinky fuel, and fix some fuel lines. Well, I'll be honest with you guys. I changed the fuel filter. I changed the fuel, and I tightened up the fuel lines.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did, but I drove the tractor for 4 hours this weekend mowing, and it runs like a champ. So,
it's worth every penny you paid that service.
Yeah, right. But did you replace the fuel lines, though?
No, so what they did is there's some return lines between the diesel injectors.
Yeah.
Which I don't know squat about diesel, Joe, and I know you're a diesel guy.
Yeah.
Do you if you have any looseness there and any
air, that's just asking for trouble.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that might have been what I didn't fix because the old antique clamps that were on there, just they didn't look like they were really springy. I mean, these clamps looked like they were from Henry Ford. They were terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you get a lot of your issues with the old diesels. Okay. I mean, you're talking the old mechanical diesel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if everything's not tight and good to go, then something's going to give.
Yeah, I just take a little pressure off the injector, and that thing would just fall on its face. And I'm talking not even, a 32nd of a turn or whatever, and that made all the difference the way that thing would run. It's crazy.
A little four-cylinder?
Two-cylinder.
Two-cylinder?
Two-cylinder.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Good little tractor. Anyway, Rolf's fixed it. I wanted to use the local guys, but every time I call the local guys here in East Peoria, they want the VIN number, and they will not work on it. And I'm going to tell you something.
Mm.
And I'm not saying my parts guys or my service guys don't use VIN numbers all the time. You have to do it.
Yeah.
But if you won't even talk to me on the phone because you have the VIN,
yep.
I'm not bringing my automobile or my tractor to you, okay?
Right. Yeah, I mean, even if you're just doing an exploratory, like, hey, you know, roughly, can you shoot me? Can you get me in for service? Can you get these parts, whatever? Yeah, I've gotten the same thing. If it doesn't have a VIN number or even like the Briggs & Stratton, like, hey, I need a diaphragm for this kind of mower. It's like, oh, I need the serial number. I need this. I need every piece of paper where you bought the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a five-horse Briggs, dude. Come on. They didn't change that design that much.
The main problem is nowadays we're trying to get people who don't know that you get younger generation, you're bringing them in, you try and teach them, and they're so codependent on the PC.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know how to actually put their hands on the engine, take a look at it. And the guys in Hartsburg are probably still old school. You know, they said just bring the tractor down.
Yeah.
And somebody started picking over it, and, you know, they didn't have to know what model number it was or anything like that. I'm like, all right, so we're cool. They got my business. They got my $275.
Hey, but if you're happy, you're happy.
Yeah. I'm a happy mowing guy, and my wife was happy because the pasture got mowed. So.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
You get back to your regular routine of mowing. Right.
So I want to make that short because it wasn't car-related. I'm not trying to steal a show away talking about diesel Kubota tractors, but that's
our new podcast. It's called Doomsday Diesels with Eric Stahl.
Yeah, there you go.
Eric and Rolf.
All right, so, well, now... Anyway, Daryl always has the best stuff, and I don't know. What are you doing right now, man? You got the garage clean. You got
the garage all cleaned out. I got the stupid Volvo that I'm driving. I got that all kind of touched up and buffed out. It looks as good as it's ever going to look for right now. But I'm still working on some driveline issues with the Tahoe. So I'm trying to track down a new yoke because mine's...
Because it was bleeding out or whatever?
Yeah, the center part of it's worn. And I thought it was just the bushing and the tail shaft extension housing, but it's not that. It's the actual center part of it is.
So you already replaced that bushing?
Yeah, bushing. That's all good to go. I had to get a new pinion yoke for the differential because I broke a hardened bolt out of the U-joint bolt, and I tried cobalt bits. I took the thing off trying to put all my weight into it. Couldn't. No way. And I looked at the other threads in the in the thing, and they're just most of them are gone. So I ordered a new one. That's not a problem. But finding a yoke, kind of like to your point of like the dealer, I called a Peoria area Chevrolet dealer. I got the same thing. I got the third degree. I'm like, well, it's a Z60 performance package on this, this, and this. Oh, no. Oh, no. Like he wouldn't have any of it on the phone. And I'm like, that's fine, dude. I'll get it online cheaper. But anyways, I called another Chevy dealer in Washington who's like way cooler and owned by the same people.
That's hilarious.
Isn't it, though? But the Washington guy was cool. He's like, hey, if you have a part number, and I looked up a part number from Rock Auto, and it's an AC Delco part, GM part number. So he looked up all the computers. He's like, I don't have one. I can't get any new available, but here's a list of all the dealers in the country that have them. You're going to have to call around. Like, I don't got time to call around, but he's like, here it is.
If you want the GM part, here's a dealer that's sitting on it. I mean, that's pretty nice of him.
He's super cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, hey, a lot of these have been sitting in, it's 20-year-old part now at this point. He's like, you might be able to haggle with them a little bit, but if you didn't hear that from me.
Yeah.
I'm like, beggars can't be choosers, right?
Nobody's stockpiling these.
So, yeah, I'll be on the way here, but hopefully I'll have my hands on that by either Friday or Saturday this week, depending on when things come in. So
when is the Tahoe going to make Facebook Marketplace?
No, I like it. It's still fun. It's just, it's one of those things, the joys of 20-year-old stuff. Doesn't have that many miles on it, but here in the Midwest, a lot of stuff that gets driven year-round, all the little rusty, crusty stuff. When you take things apart, my Mustang Cobra was the same way.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember breaking off a bolt in a U-joint, U-bolt, and I wound up just taking it to the shop, and I'm like, I'm done. And, of course, You know, there's guys that they do the tricks with the candles and, like, they melt the candle in a frozen bolt and extract it with an easy out. There is an art to that, and I want no part of it.
No, actually, Pekin Welding down the road here, that guy is like a mobile setup. If you break bolts off in the crank,
yeah.
I mean, he's got a whole setup. He'll go in there and lace that thing, get all set up. Oh, my God.
They're really good.
Wow. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even know there was an industry for it, but apparently I think Ford trucks have a serious problem with that.
Yeah, on the exhaust manifolds. The exhaust manifolds, actually I had to do that on my old 09 that F-150 I had. They actually have a kit for that, though. So it's a really cool little kit that you can get from I'm trying to remember.
Is it Lyle or no?
Yeah, from Lyle.
Lyle.
And it bolts right on. Bolts right onto the.
Of course, Daryl knew
the head, and you can actually go ahead and it gives you a pilot hole, and puts that pilot hole, and you can actually go ahead and drill it, and then you can go ahead and put the larger drill bit through it, and you can use an easy out, and it pops them right out. I mean, it's
nice.
Yeah, they're really nice. I mean, sometimes though, you weren't able to do that, like on the old three valves.
The
5-4 three valves. You had to come in and have them. Get the welder in there, and
Which, by the way, Ford and any other manufacturer out there—it's not unique to Ford, but any manufacturer—if there's a company who's a third-party company who can make money fixing a huge defect,
then you've done something wrong.
You've done something horribly wrong. You might want to revisit that. And in another show, we won't talk about this now, but I'll talk about Samsung's ice makers.
Oh,
their refrigerators. Because I got a bone to pick with them.
I had a Frigidaire problem, but anyway, probably unrelated. Joe, your garage. Yeah. We don't even know how many cars you got in your garage.
Oh my gosh! First of all, okay, I got way too many to choose from. Okay, yeah. So
sounds like Daryl.
Yeah.
Happy problem. Oh yeah, you got another one too. We'll talk.
So
about
they're not all mine though. So I mean that's a good point. Okay, so my son's got a couple of them in there. So
that's my kids own half my cars.
Yeah. The one I'm working on right now, though, is an 05 Ford Focus ST, the original ST that came out in 05, that stupid 2.3 Duratec engine in it.
Yeah.
Starving the number one bearing for oil.
But those were decent motors when they were new, weren't they?
Yeah, when they were new, but when you're autocrossing it and you throw that oil away from the pickup and there's no oil baffle in the pan.
So I was going to say, is there just a baffle you can set up in the pan?
I've tried that. That didn't work either.
Really?
So I'm saying forget it. I'm dropping the 2.3 out and I'm throwing a 2.5 in it out of a 2014 Fusion. And we're going to do a complete swap over to it.
So I've never seen that car on the track.
Nope. That was before your time.
Okay. So it's been sitting in the garage for a while?
It's been sitting for about 8 years now.
Oh, geez.
So,
5-speed?
All the STs were 5-speed from the factory.
Because in 04, like 02 to 04, they did an SVT Focus,
they had
right?
the old SVT Focus. That's right. But first those came in the hatchback.
Okay.
They either came in the two-door hatch or the four-door hatch.
Okay.
Or excuse me, no, they only came in the two-door hatch for the SVTs. But for 05, that was the kind of the downfall of the SVT era, and they came out with the Ford ST.
Okay.
It basically replaced the SVT, but it was a four-door sedan.
Gotcha.
Still had the sport-tuned suspension from Europe, still had the upgraded sway bars, the stiffer springs, had the 2.3 liter Duratec in it instead of the 2.3 liter Z-Tech.
Z-Tech is the first gen ones, yeah.
So
I feel like this is a subject Daryl may not know a lot about.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, Z-Tech, I remember that was a popular crate motor for a lot of people too.
It was a real popular crate motor, especially for like the Formula Fords, for SECA. I mean, those 2 liters were used a lot.
Yeah.
So
okay, so that's one in your
that's
stable.
That's one of them. So the other one is actually my wife's, but she's got a 1967 Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh, really?
That we got to get back going.
Nice.
Hard top?
Yeah, still a hard top. Paint's all faded, but it's really not that bad of a car. I mean, you figure a 67. So
how long you guys had it?
She's had it since she's been 13 or 14, something like that. She's had it for a real long time. Her dad gave it to her for for a present.
This is cool. So this car's been around for a while.
This car's been around for a while.
Stuck under a cover somewhere?
Actually stuck in the garage. No. So I'm real fortunate, okay? Now, I wouldn't do this for most people, but I actually live across the street from my mother-in-law, okay?
God, dude.
So
heart of an angel here.
You know what? I love my mother-in-law, and when we get into a little bit more of the stuff that we do...
Well, when I'm being recorded, I always say I love my mother-in-law, too.
Right.
No, no.
Carol, you love your mother-in-law.
Always.
You have always. No idea. So, screw it. We're going to say it right now, okay? The very first weekend I met my wife... Okay?
By the way, we have a million subscribers. I don't know if I told you
that's
that
fine. Yet. I don't care. The first kind of get-together I had with my wife, we met at... Stone Country years ago. We've been together for almost for over 18 years now.
Oh wow!
The weekend after we met, she's like, "You know what? We're going to Black Hawk Farms Raceway. You want to go with us?" And I'm like,
"Were you engaged that weekend?"
You know what? Just about. So it
this
was
going to work out fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really eye-opening, okay? I've never been to a road race like that before. Always been really interested in road racing, but never really seen it up close. And we get there, and my now brother-in-law blows an engine during practice. He's supposed to be back out to race for qualifying in 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, you know what? I know my way around the car. I can help. What do I need to do? We get back to the pits. My wife and my mother-in-law look at me. They say, step back. Get out of our way. My mother-in-law and my wife rip that engine out.
What kind of car?
It's called a Formula V.
Formula V racer. Okay. So okay. What kind of drivetrain are we
it
talking?
We're talking a 60-style Volkswagen Beetle.
Okay.
Turned into a Formula One car with no wings.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Uses stock Volkswagen parts for the most part. So they get there, the car's being pulled back to the pit by a four-wheeler. They get it back, they rip the back hood off of it, and they start going to town. They put their mechanic's gloves on. They had that engine out. They had the new engine in, had him back on the grid, ready to go in that half hour.
So all I can picture is your brother-in-law, is he like a Ferrari driver, just stand there like drinking coffee, like, can you guys get this going for me right now?
Fanning himself. Right?
No, it's not quite like that. I mean, he's in there helping too, but
okay.
He was getting the other engine ready for them to throw into it. So okay.
That's incredible, but, though. So that was like kind of your first
glimpse
into...
That was my glimpse into SCCA racing and
wow.
My new family. So
that's a great story.
That's awesome.
But okay, so that's two cars.
Yep.
Not that we can spend 20 minutes in each car, but give us a rundown.
The 97 Miata. That's my
white
that's
one?
My white race car.
That's not a daily driver at all, though, right? Just
no,
a race car.
I drive it every so often on the street, but no, that's really meant for getting out there on the autocross course and running it.
Okay.
We've got a 2015 Ford F-350 King Ranch diesel. That's
nice.
What we use
what
for
year?
2015.
Oh, wow. That's like a $100,000 truck back when it was new, right?
Not quite that much.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Got it bulletproofed and all that stuff. I mean,
don't need it. It's a 6.7.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that 6.7 is pretty good from the factory. So
the 6 liters were the ones.
Yeah. Yeah, the 6 liters were the ones you really had to work with.
It.
So let's see here. No longer have my RX-7, so those are all gone. But so then my son's got his Subaru and his Miata, and then my wife's got her 2015 Mazda 6.
Very nice.
How many cars total?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yeah.
6 or 7.
6 or 7,
okay.
Something like that.
Right.
Not counting my work van.
So between us, we own about 21 or 24 cars somewhere in there, right, Daryl?
Something like that.
Our carbon footprint is about as big as Shaq's feet.
Yeah.
So that's all right. That's all right.
All right, cool.
Nice setup.
Should we hop right into the headlines? We've got some quick headlines here we want to run through.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to put a link. This is international news. I'm going to throw a link on the throwingwrenches.com page. I'd like you to read this article from Automotive News. It is a complete scary article about how small cars in Europe are going to start disappearing. And the logic is that with all the emissions controls and with all the technical advancements that require the automation that's going to go into cars in the future, that small cars can't absorb the cost of these extra accessories and this extra stuff. But mid-sized cars and large cars and SUVs all can. So what's going to happen is, because of the extra costs on these small cars, Volkswagen, Renault, Peugeot, all these manufacturers are basically talking about shutting down these petrol cars. In the headline seemed to, it's like, okay, I can see a little bit of this. But as you read this article and you hear from all these different manufacturers and you see all the cars they're talking about getting rid of in lieu of electric cars or small cars, it's frightening. I mean, it's like this in Europe, it obviously, is like California and Massachusetts and even maybe Illinois. I don't know yet, but they're going to be very progressive on low emissions cars going into 2030, I think.
That's the big year.
Yeah. That's the big year. So it is a good read. It's a well-written article, and it definitely is going to give you some ideas of what you're going to be looking at in the next 10 years. It's also going to help you add value and understand why your older cars, take care of them. If there's a car you love right now and you're driving it, do everything you can to keep that thing on the road or hide it in the garage, because you're going to miss that car when it's gone.
Well, the thing that gets me, you're basically, the article and what we're kind of summarizing here is these smaller cars, the tech is going to cost too much to make those cars affordable, right? There's no wiggle room.
They can't absorb it. BMW basically said it's not worth the car at the price you'd have to add to it.
So why would an electric car be feasible?
Because of the emissions.
Okay. I mean,
you get a free pass on that, even though you're burning coal. To throw out your tank.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm thinking of it from that perspective, which nobody does. It's miles away somewhere,
How many pounds of coal do we got to burn just to?
And see, and that's power up in our neck of the woods. Car. That's definitely true. I think in Europe, it's all nuclear, and I mean, what else are they using in Europe?
Nuclear is huge in France. France, I think, is one of the number one nuclear power adopters. They recycle their plutonium and stuff like that.
They can't bury it in a hole there.
No, but that's why the engineers have found a way to do it. And over here is like,
we got lots of space. That's why we believe in landfills.
Let's throw it in Yucca Mountain, Nevada, because Nevada has been, historically our dumping ground for toxic and nuclear waste.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So anyway, the basic gist of the story is the bigger cars will survive. Smaller cars are going to suffer very hard because of their lack of markup. And I do emphasize, read this article. If you're a car guy and you're interested in the future of technology and where it's all going, this article is definitely one to check out.
Yep. Scary stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, so shift gears. We're going to talk about some local news. We got a big show. We got a lot to get through here, and more with Joe Feaster here in a moment. Let's talk about gas prices. I know everybody and their uncle and aunts and everybody were talking about the July 1st 19-cent gasoline tax hike here in Illinois to pay for the roads. A lot of people did the double fill up where they go to Kroger or Costco and they get every car in the family.
Four cars I filled up over the weekend.
I mean, that's good. It's good. One of my coworkers.
I just filled up the one diesel. So
yeah, did diesel go up? Is that part of the deal or is it just gas?
I don't know. I haven't even looked at diesel since.
I wondered if the diesel was even part of that gig.
I honestly don't know.
I'm hoping not, because my diesel's already.
It's already
pretty expensive,
there. It's up there. Yeah, one of my coworkers said, I think he filled him and his wife's car, and then I think total it was saved at like $5. $5 is $5.
Yeah. My wife's Prius. Actually, here was the ironic thing. We drove my 4Runner into Pekin so we could fill it up with gas. And I told my wife, I said, for how much money it costs to drive the 4Runner to Pekin to fill it up, we probably didn't save a nickel,
There's that.
Probably not.
On Facebook, too, they get the memories and on this date kind of thing. And I look back, gas. I filled up the Volvo yesterday after I ran out of gas. But we'll talk about that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the stupid gauge. It's not
blame
very
it on
accurate.
The gauge.
Do you carry, extra
gauge.
In the car now?
No. I do now because I got 6 gas cans. By the way, if you run out of gas, the BP on Knoxville, a gas can is $19. And I was so steamed. I'm like, I'm just going to buy this. So, anyways,
$5 gas can for $20. Good
but yeah,
job.
$3.55 a gallon. Okay, that's what I paid for premium yesterday. On my Facebook thing this morning, I woke up and it was like on this day, 5 cents off Shell V Power and premium Shell 5 years ago in Peoria was $3.75. So, I mean, you put that into perspective. It's a commodity ebb flow. Stuff goes up, stuff comes down. And I know people kept saying, gas will be cheap this summer. Well, it's all relative. I mean.
I don't know how to bail you out of this one, Daryl.
I like to complain, but at the same time, gas is always going to be gas. Yeah. It's going to be expensive. They're going to find new ways, new taxes to put on there. And as long as they keep that fund the tax revenue going to the roads, which drastically needed, great. But again, our state doesn't have a track record.
No,
remember the lottery?
Yeah.
Supposed to be. All that money's going to go to schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure it will.
No. It's going to go to unfunded pensions. It's going to go. Actually, Rauner just signed off on raises for everybody. So
Pritzker, you mean?
Sorry, Rauner. Yeah, Rauner's the one who wouldn't give raises. Pritzker's the one just handing them out like candies.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't get too excited about the price of gas. I try to save some money here and there, but otherwise, gas buddy it up and just go to work.
Yeah, yeah. I guess. I think that. Just because there's an opportunity because gas prices were low in a historic fashion right now, you know, the 19 cents doesn't really feel like that big of a deal right now. But, you know, there was a time, what, 4 or 5 years ago where gas got over $4 a gallon?
Right, for quite a while.
Yeah, and so that extra 20 cents is certainly going to feel a lot worse if we get in that situation. What if something flares up with Iran, you know, here in the next month or two?
Right.
You know, then gas price all of a sudden $5
a gallon. $6 a gallon.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's an easy opportunity for the state to say, oh, gas prices are low. Let's hit this. But the other things that are hidden in there that people don't understand, the registrations are going up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your registrations can go from $98 to $150.
Yep.
Yeah, they did. They went up to, I thought it was $110 or $120 a while ago. It's kind of slowly stair-stepped.
Yeah, it was $110, up.
But it's another one of those, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah,
well,
unless you have seven cars.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe seven cars. Oh, wait, I do.
This table.
And then January 1st in Illinois, if you trade in a car... Let's just say you trade in a car that's worth $20,000. The state now has capped it, so your tax savings against a new car will be capped at $10,000.
So even if you're getting that money as an allowance, they're going to cap it.
Yeah.
As the price of average car and truck, let's not talk about that.
Have definitely increased over the last decade.
Way increased.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something that the regular everyday consumer, because everybody's going to have a car, unless you live in a city, you can ride and walk to work.
Yeah, walk to work.
If you can, fantastic. There's a good swath of this population that takes a truck, has a work van, has a vehicle that is specifically for work. So the whole notion of, oh, everyone should just ride a bike and take a backpack, and, you know, okay, sure, forget it.
So, and did you see about the electric vehicles, what their registration went up to?
Now, see, I didn't know if that passed, but I haven't been following this that closely. So what's the story on those?
So... from what I understand, I mean, registration for the electric vehicles was like $20, $30.
Yeah, they always got
got the huge discount.
They go to $250
now,
or something?
No, we're talking they're getting hit with a $1,000 registration fee every year now.
Because of the motor fuel tax that they're basically not paying because of they're not.
So I have a
For the fuel tax.
I have a plug-in Prius. I don't know if that car qualifies in that. I hope to God it does.
A gas motor, right?
It's got a gas motor.
Then you're fine.
Yeah. If it's 100% electric, right?
If it's 100% electric.
Okay, good.
Well, you know what? I don't have that much of a beef with because it actually kind of levels a playing field.
It does.
But it retards the sales of those vehicles. Not nearly as an attractive buy. Here's the other thing I wonder about, too. This $10,000 credit or lack of past $10,000.
The trade-in.
So... what if that inspires people to sell cars themselves and they're not trading
in? That's really going to inspire it.
So now what happens with the DMV when you walk in there and say, I just bought the car from Joe Blow that maybe you paid $30,000 for. But do they get as much tax down there if you say, oh, I bought it for $20,000 or something like that?
What they'll do is they give you...
it's done by the year, isn't it?
It's done by sale price, but they give you a bunch of crap. Because I got this when I bought my Plymouth, my 55 Plymouth, because everybody thinks that mid-50s cars are worth a bazillion dollars because of Barrett Jackson. Well, I paid $6,000 for the Plymouth, right? Mm-hmm. And so I go in there and the sale price, oh, you must have got a deal. You're under-reporting and blah, 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 and that's got to be worth like at least twice that. And so they give you a lip. And what they want you to do now is to have a bill of sale. Now, it's not required, but I know like Massachusetts and other states, it's become an issue.
It's going to happen then. They're going to require it.
And so what they'll do is in Illinois, if you want to protect it, let's say you do buy a private party vehicle sale or something like that, you're going to pay tax on the sale price of the vehicle, but it's you self-report it. So the best thing to do, and it's just good practice to do when you buy a car for private party anyways, just have a bill of sale, have both people sign it, print one off of the internet, who cares?
Yep.
And then they can actually photocopy, scan it in, and they will have it as a record with your registration application.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can always reference that and be like, hey, friends, it's on file.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of time before the Department of Revenue in Illinois starts to go back and be like, we feel you underreported the sale.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we
market
think you
value.
Owe us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
It's going to happen.
I'm telling you. It's crazy. So I don't know if anybody's paying attention to stuff, but it's definitely happening. And I'm not sure if that's what you voted for, but that's what we got. So keep that in mind the next election cycle.
Yeah. I'm so stressed out I could go for a cigarette, but I can't afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to the Casey's guy up the street. He's like, yeah, Marlboros are $10 a pack. Or no, 9-0-something.
What?
Yeah. And what? A Camel No Filter apparently is the creme de la creme of the cigarettes up at Casey's. $11 a pack for a Camel No Filter.
Wow. So what's a carton?
I don't know.
100? Over 100.
Oh, it's got to be. It's unbelievable to me. And this is so regressive because the people who smoke, the people who register cars, I mean, this is and same thing with lottery tickets and gambling parlors. These are the people who can least afford this stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's
true.
We're killing our. We're eating ourselves. We're like a snake eating its tail.
Yeah.
It's all right. We'll survive. Okay. All right. We'll survive until they start taxing my liquor. Actually, wait. They already do.
Yeah. I'm surprised that didn't go up.
Oh, did you see the newest one about that, though?
That got shut
he
down.
It
was
shut
in
down?
Committee or something. Yeah, it got was it beer?
No, it was all beer, wine, and spirits. They were talking about doing a 50% tax increase on it.
Oh, my God.
That's what Pritzker just proposed the other day.
You know what, Eric? I'm going to take your Kubota. I'm going to plant my own grains. I'm going to make a still.
I'm going to start homebrewing.
Make my own homebrew.
Just homebrewing all time. Anyway, it's got to end somewhere, folks. I don't know, and we got to be the ones. All right, let's get back to regular news. In more local news, I'm not sure that I can really say it, but on a site that rhymes with bycrowd.com,
wow,
somebody mentioned that the Mitsubishi Parkway now has turned into Rivian Parkway. If you're not familiar with that spot, it's just off of 55. It's where the old Mitsubishi factory is at. It runs from Route 9 to 74.
U.S. Route 150, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that little stretch.
Yeah, so they changed it to Rivian Parkway. That's cool. That's they're basically giving a big shout-out to the company that bought the old Mitsubishi plant. They're normal, so I'm just hoping that maybe they'll build a car there at some point, and we'll.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah,
you know what? It is getting cleared out. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
So
we got some inside tips. Here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I've actually had a customer in here the other day who works over there in the demolition process, and he said, "Oh yeah, you're gonna be able to eat off that floor."
So when Rivian bought that plant, they bought everything in it, right?
Correct.
All the tooling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was already liquidated.
See, I did too.
Or maybe some of it. My understanding, it was one of the biggest factories in the country left, and it was almost too big. That's why I couldn't find a buyer, and they were going to try to piecemeal sell like some of the equipment off and things like that, and then sell the building separate. But there's still, I guess, there's still some equipment in there.
Oh, there's still a ton of equipment in there.
Oh, wow, we could build our own Tuckers, Daryl.
We could. we could build a car.
Let's
of the
bring
future.
Back the Tucker.
Car of the future.
Be a fan of that.
Anyway, Nexstar Broadcasting owns that website that I can't say. And they have this big disclaimer on there that all rights reserved, material may not be published, broadcast, rewritten, or redistributed. So I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you that a friend of mine drove past Mitsubishi Parkway. Now it's called Rivian Parkway.
Right.
So,
yeah, they noticed that. Oh, the other thing, too, is when you cover a town meeting or a village, you know, city hall, city council, that's public record.
Oh, it's a public record.
It's okay. They won't arrest you. Don't worry.
Okay. I was worried. No, might take fine. Our revenues.
It is interesting, though, as far as, like, the legacy, like, what is the town, what does a city owe a corporation once they pack up and leave? You know, I remember you can talk about the Maytag plant out in Galesburg. Yep. You can talk about all those things where it's like they roll out the red carpet when they come to town, and then when they leave, it's like, oh, crap. And then it's like this heartache every time you drive past the sign, Mitsubishi Motorway. Yeah, those are the days, kids.
Yeah, yeah. Like, true story, though, because I drive that road all the time on the way back to Mackinac, and I'm just like, yeah, Mitsubishi.
Yeah, so even
there's still a ton of Volkswagens parked in there, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We've talked about that before. There's still not every single TDI Volkswagen, but most of them from North America.
Of them that they can that they bought back, or and they're trying to refurbish them so they can put it back on the lots.
Yeah, what they're doing is that they're actually refurbishing little by little.
Okay.
So they're not flooding the market to drive the price down on all the cars, because there's Volkswagens in there, there's Audis in there. I mean, there's
years worth of cars.
Yes, there's years worth of cars in there.
So that's one holding facility. I have to imagine that there's several across the country.
Yeah, there's got to be. Because, I mean, that lot was jammed packed a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, that can't be all of them for the entire country.
You wouldn't think so.
No, some of them were like kind of pimped out. I saw one, like a nice Passat with like some rims and tint and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. But it's probably been sitting for 3 years.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Maybe that's our next project. Just go get one of those. I've seen TDI Beetles and stuff like that. Guys autocross those things. You can get chip tune them and do all kinds
chip
of stuff.
Chip tune them. The only problem when you start doing that is that's when you start getting into the bigger classes. And then now you've just chipped and tuned a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
And you're running against like a 350Z.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to keep up.
I mean.
But I did see there was a guy years ago I autocrossed with up in Wisconsin, and he tore it up. And I was like, what is – like it's a diesel. What's going on? I was like, oh, I got all these parts from Europe and stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a big deal over in Europe, right? So interesting. He was talking about like bars of boost, and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Come on. You got to know what a bar of boost is.
Well, I thought it was pounds. Maybe a metric. Is that metric?
I don't – a bar – I don't think a bar is a metric term.
I don't know.
All right, it actually is a metric term.
See?
It's actually a one bar is equal to 30 pounds of boost.
Okay.
Oh, so it's like a stone thing, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he started talking. It was like, all I heard was Royale with cheese. Yeah. You know, and I just started tuning it out.
I lost 3 stone on a diet. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I mean, what is a stone? You know, what's a bar?
They put on French fries. Mayonnaise. That's what they put on it. Anyways. All right. Okay.
Do we want to get into the Joe segment?
Let's
show?
Talk with Joe because Joe's been so patient while we geek out about other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't mind. So
let's geek out about some autocross
stuff. Yeah. So,
sounds good.
So Central Illinois Region SCCA.
Yes.
It sounds very specific. What is CIR-SCCA?
So CIR-SCCA is just a, like just that, it's a region of SCCA. So it's broken up into different regions. Our region goes a little bit more south than Springfield and about right even with I-80 from border to border, Iowa to Illinois or Iowa to Indiana. And then you have St. Louis region, which is just that down in St. Louis area. Then you have Chicago region, which is up there in Chicago. So it's just how SCCA breaks it up so their people know, okay, this is who you go to for this area.
Sure.
So
how long has it been in existence?
Actually, SCCA for Central Illinois has been in existence for quite a while. They were actually one of the original people to buy stocks for Road America when Road America was being built.
Like late 50s?
Yes.
Like holy cow.
So it did go on a little hiatus there for a little bit. But then myself, Jason Daly, Ray Weiss, Chris Fredericks, and David Nolan, who's actually no longer in our region. He moved down to Georgia. They kind of brought it back to life. And here we are today. So,
how long ago was that that you guys kind of kicked back up?
We kind of kicked it back up. It's been almost 3-4 years ago now. So,
is that it?
Yeah.
So those guys that kind of helped kind of piece things back together, mm-hmm. Were they existing members who were like, hey, we want to see this thing continue?
Yes, they were existing members, okay. and they just were wanting to offer up autocross for people here back in the Central Illinois. Yes, we have Champaign County, they're great people over there. They run a great event over there.
See our episode with Dean Plumador.
Yes. Yeah. Dean's a great guy. It's quite a bit of drive for us to go over there.
Oh, yeah. It's not in our backyard.
No. Right.
Which you can do it. I mean, you can totally do it, but for some folks that are maybe starting out or they got an older kind of car that,
exactly.
You know, it's like you got to make it to Rantoul and then beat on it all day and then drive it 2 hours back, you know, it's like,
right.
Eh.
But here's the thing though, is that, I mean, how often are people really wanting to go out and drive that far to go do something like that? That's never even done it before.
Well,
having it here in our backyard,
that makes it a lot easier.
It really helps bring more people into the sport.
Well, that's how I got into it because you guys were doing it at Pekin Airport a couple years ago and it literally was in my backyard. I'm like, I can drive 20 minutes and do this at the Pekin Airport. I know where the Pekin Airport's at.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
And I might even know a few people because it's, you know, local as opposed to driving over actually, it's equidistant for me really to go to Chicago, St. Louis, or to Rantoul. I mean, really, and all these places are a couple hours away. So, you know, I think, like you're saying, here local makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference.
How many members do you think in the CIR right now?
Right now in CIR, last time I checked, it was right around 165, if I'm not mistaken.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good size, right?
It's not bad at all. But there again, you got to remember that's also some of our club racers that actually race SCCA road courses, wheel-to-wheel racing.
Okay.
That's just not autocrossers. So. Yeah.
So if you sign up for SCCA nationally, are you automatically a member of Central Illinois region because you live here?
No, you actually have to pick that.
Okay.
So there are a couple of people that live in the area that actually paid dues, as you would say, to Chicago region or to Milwaukee region. That is something that they can do.
Okay.
And it's also where you can hold a dual membership, where you have a membership for Central Illinois and for Chicago.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's really – once you're an SCCA member, you're an SCCA member. It really doesn't matter what region you are. It's just what region are you helping out with your dues.
So, and that, we talked about that a little bit with Dean. So I think the big thing was with SCCA is you're national. I mean, mm-hmm. So if I get a membership with SCCA, I can do events with the Central Illinois region. I can do Chicago. I can go to New York City. I can go wherever I want, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's the advantage there.
And just being kind of a noob, I mean, does when you have an event that's put on, you're a dues-paying member of the SCCA, is there a separate event fee for the day?
Correct.
That helps you guys out? Okay.
Everybody's going to have their own event fees that they have, okay? The membership just gives you that discounted rate for those event fees.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, like, for CIR's events, I'm going to botch this up. I know I am, but I think it's like $45 or $55 for a full weekend if you're an SCCA member.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're not an SCCA member, that goes to like $65,
$75. Gotcha.
Okay. Now, if you're doing a lot of autocrosses in a year, that adds up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just starting out and you're just getting into this, that's fine. We don't want you to become a member right off the bat. We want you to learn about the club. Find out what it's all about. Find out, hey, we're just a bunch of people here, a bunch of family members coming out, having a good time, beating on our cars, and see who can do best.
Yep.
So
that's awesome.
So when you and Daly got back into this, I mean, and it sounds like there's four or five other guys.
Yeah.
You're the president. How did that, you get the short straw on that, or you say, I want to take the lead on this? How did that work out?
Actually, I kind of volunteered for this.
Oh, man. Satan. He's a masochist.
Right? I really am. I should have known better. Ray Weiss, who was our president to begin with, he was having some family, wanted to start spending more time with the family. Because when you really do this, if you don't love it and you don't want to be at just doing this 24/7.
It's not just race day.
It's not just race day. Yeah. This is all year long, right, trying to get everything set up, trying to find new events, new places for us to go and race.
Yep.
It takes a lot out of you. And if you're not able to do that wholeheartedly, it really wears you down. It wears down on your family life.
Sure.
So that's where I'm very fortunate with this. I mean, my wife is the one that got me into SCCA. And she's a hell of a driver. I mean, she outdrove me both days this last event. So
I'm starting to imagine your household is like the kitchen table have like a race flag on it. I mean, is there pictures of Miatas on the fridge?
That's the cylinder heads on the kitchen table. Okay, we had to rebuild the cylinder head. So
getting it prepped for race day.
Yeah,
You know what though, that makes it that much more of, like you said, kind of a family, like a family affair. Right?
It is. It's a family affair. So I started out autocrossing back in, I'm going to tell my age here now, but back in 2000, okay, I started autocrossing. Okay, right. Back then, it was a 1990 Taurus SHO. Okay?
Great car.
Great car, fun car. Lot of fun with that car. But
nice high-winded motor in there, too.
Yes, it was. That Yamaha motor in there was great. I mean, it was a lot of fun. But that was just off and on. I went a couple of times a year. That was about it. And then, like I said, I met my wife, and like our first or second weekend we were seeing each other, she tells me, hey, let's go to a race. I'm like, all right, hey, let's go. So And that kind of got me involved into it. And then when I started having kids, that's what really got me into becoming a president. So at age 5, my daughter, Cammy, she's been going to autocrosses with us this entire time. She would walk the track with us and even ride her scooter through the track. And she knew the track just about as well as any person there.
That's cool.
And she's like, Dad, I want to do this. I want to come out and I want to race. And at the time, we were racing with Champaign County, and Champaign County are great people. Their insurance just wouldn't allow them to run kids that young. I completely understand that. I mean, that's no hard feelings there.
Sure.
But SCCA does. So we came to SCCA, and my wife and myself, they're like, we talked to Ray and Jason Daly and to Dave Nolan. What do we need to do to be able to have kid carts? Kid carts is from age 5 to 8.
Okay. What are they usually powered with, like, as far as
they're powered with a 50cc Comer motor.
Okay.
Which is a 2-stroke, or the Honda equivalent, which is a 4-stroke. They call it the GX50.
So they got a little governor on them. They're not governed.
They're just a little 50cc, like, lawnmower, or not lawnmower, but a weed eater motor.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Nothing to them whatsoever. And they have to be geared a certain gear, so they can't even – you can't change the gears to make them go faster or slower. They're labeled to this one gear, and that's it.
Okay.
But at the time, we didn't know that. We're like, okay, so what do we need to do to get kids karting here at Central Illinois?
Is there somebody who just, like, sells an SCCA-rated kart, or do you have to build this thing?
No, we were actually able to find one.
Okay.
And we bought it. But we actually had to go to SCCA and get trained. Okay, not as a judge, but as a safety steward.
Oh, sure.
For kid carts, and a youth steward for kid carts.
Okay,
that was a big thing. I mean, safety is 100% SCCA's top priority.
Sure,
we can't have kids out there doing 35, 45, 55 miles an hour, and have them being on an unsafe course or not know what they're doing. So my wife and myself, we went and we made the kind of the gumption to go ahead and do this for SCCA. And now Cammy's turning 9. She just turned 9 this year. She was autocrossing for age 5 till age 8. Wow. And
she see the videos, her new stuff. It's they post GoPros, stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
she's gotten a lot faster in the last 3 or 4 years I've been watching.
Pretty impressive.
She's a speed demon now.
Yeah. pretty awesome.
Well, she's got the support on both sides, both mom and dad.
Exactly.
Right? So that's awesome.
So once that happened, and racing that I was doing this for my children, and we were kind of all doing this as a family, he approached me to said, okay, I want you to take over the club and kind of run with it and see what you can do with it. So, and that's how I really got going into being the president of, and it's really not the president, it's the regional executive, as SCCA would say.
But. Okay. But when I go to the events, I mean, you're the guy sitting there. It should be racing. It should be fun. But there's a guy who basically has to tell everybody what to do. Mm-hmm. Please don't be stupid. Then I have to sit here at a desk all day and talking on a walkie-talkie, yelling at people. It's work.
It is work.
But then you still find time to drive and have fun.
You really have to compartmentalize what you're doing at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, when I'm there, I'm the safety steward, or I'm running the event, that's my job. That's what I'm there to do. When I'm not, and it's my turn to drive, then the other safety steward or the other person in charge, that's their time to do their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to have that mental capability of just turning it off. And for me, it's really hard because I hear I always have the radio right there with me, even when I'm driving.
Dude, that radio would drive you insane because, I mean, there's people say, oh, this person did this, or they're not doing that, or they hit the cone. I mean, so some of the stuff is just trivial. It's like, okay, they hit a cone, whatever. But the other stuff's like, he's out of control, or they're out of the boundary line. Or, I mean, so, I mean, you're having to weigh all this stuff. You know, what's the intensity, or what's the danger level of all this stuff?
It is, and the problem is obviously we never want anybody to be out of control on the course. So I mean,
or even too slow. We had a person on Father's Day who was so slow it was actually holding up the gate of the person who'd started behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, that was kind of the starter. The starter shouldn't have seen that.
Yeah, but I mean, that came across. I heard it across the radio, and I'm like, oh, see, this just blew the next run for this guy. I mean,
yeah. And that's, I mean, we recognize those issues, and obviously the person that,
and I'm not calling him out, but I'm just saying this is the stuff he's got to digest and work with. I'd be so stressed.
I'm just thinking the same thing because I can't turn that off.
Yeah.
Because I can't. I mean, you able to kind of zen focus and be like, okay, and I'm going to leave this desk. I'm going to do my run. I'm come back here, get an iced tea, and we're good. Like, can you focus on that, or is
what
it always
what I'm doing? Really, it doesn't start to focus for me until I get up to the staging line. When I get up to the staging line or as I'm getting ready to pull out of my pit spot to go up to the staging line, I get the helmet on. As soon as I put the helmet on, that's when it's good to go.
Okay.
I kind of take a second. You hear a lot of the racers talk about this. They kind of visualize themselves going through the track, and that's what I do. I mean, I sit there, I close my eyes, and I visualize what I got to go to do go through the track. What corner am I taking here? How much throttle am I doing? And you really got to think of it that way because, honestly, if you're not in focused for that run, somebody could get hurt. So
Right. And I think we've all seen, you know, YouTube videos of autocross stuff gone wrong.
Yeah.
And it's usually probably a combination of things. But I will say the several that I've seen where – you know, car goes off course and somebody gets hit or something. I hate to say this, but there's a lot of folks that are standing around marshaling corners that maybe didn't get the best instruction, that are kind of just like staring off at, you know, like, oh, this sounds cool. I heard something with an awesome motor. And they're looking over here at the starting line, somebody taking off, and they're not watching coming up.
Yeah. And I mean, and Eric will attest to this. My biggest thing when I do my safety talk before we start the event is I'm always saying, don't turn your back on the cars.
Never.
Oh, no.
Never turn your back on these cars because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, you never know this. Frankly, you never know what's going to happen. You got the mechanical component, but then you also don't know, like, somebody who's coming around, that might be their 800th time on a course.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some, you know, first timer who's not very experienced. And even the experienced folks, stuff can happen. Things can break, right?
Some stuff can happen. Things can break. There was an unfortunate incident a couple years ago down in Texas for a Carter.
Mm.
A girl was actually killed because she went off course. Mm. So there's always that possibility of something bad happening.
Yeah.
But we always have to keep in mind, I mean, first of all, we're here to have fun. We're here to have fun and go home back to our families, first of all. But having fun and being safe and then having fun and being idiots are two totally different things.
And we don't want the idiots out there. I mean, frankly, you're trying to weed those guys out. Have you ever banned anybody?
We have never banned anybody from our events. Now, I have heard that there have been people that have been banned from other regions.
Do they show up down here and then you got to watch and see if they need to be
banned
here?
It's one of those things that's been so bad that they've been banned by SCCA.
Okay. Oh, by the national organization.
Yes. Wow. So, I mean, it's very rare that something like that ever happens, but it has happened.
Is it behavior? Is it tech violation stuff? Is it just being a jerk? Like,
It was
combination of all.
Combination of a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I don't know all the particulars about it, so I really don't want to say something I'm not familiar with.
So, how many times have you ever had to ban somebody at the car check?
Oh, geez, there's people that aren't even allowed to run because of the tech violations.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, we had one Saturday. We had one when we had the event on Saturday when you were there.
So you get your money back on that situation?
You know what? That's not my call. That is actually the treasurer's call. So,
okay, all right.
So in other words, someone will roll up and they'll have, let's say, I'm not picking on Camaros, but I'll just say, guy's got a late model Camaro,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a whole bunch of stuff done to it. Let's say the battery hold down's missing, and you know,
that's the big one.
Yeah. And people roll up and like, what do you mean this won't pass tech?
Like black bungee cord, man.
Yeah, you got a 45-pound missile in the front of your car.
Exactly,
that's not cool.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that when it's like, hey, do you give them a time? Like, hey, if you can get it back through tech here in the next half hour, cool.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, we always give them a time limit. Tech is open from a certain time to a certain time. Okay.
Right.
If they can get it fixed where it passes tech in that certain time, great.
So
we want to have you come out and run it.
Race starts at 9, tech's from 7 to 9 or something.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Normally tech is open from 7 to 9. Racing starts at 10 or 10:30, something like that. So they have that time to try to get it fixed. But in all, sometimes we've had some guys bring cars in and like wheel bearings are about ready to fall out, or bushings are completely disintegrated.
And I've seen the guys, I think at the Pekin Airport, they were like trying to move the wheel side to side, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when it's sitting on the ground, that's kind of hard to do.
It is kind of hard to do, but you can still feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
And why would you, as a driver, even if you were, you know, kind of just getting into it for the first time, wouldn't you want to make sure your stuff was tip-top?
Yeah, but really, how many of these kids nowadays that are coming out to the autocross don't know any better?
Kind of don't have that skill set?
They've never been taught that. They've never had somebody show them, hey, this is what you need to look for.
Right.
It's sad for this generation coming up because...
So this question was not on here, and you bring up a good point here. So what kind of outreach stuff is SCCA doing to try and bring younger drivers into this? Because to me, it looks like a lot of older guys.
It is.
In jean shorts.
A lot of older drivers.
like a bunch of boomers?
Yeah. We won't talk about the Corvette guys, okay?
Yeah. Right.
Dean.
Yeah, Dean. So,
love you, show, yeah. Dean.
You know what? SCCA is trying to do a lot of things right now. Unfortunately, in our area... I've been trying to work some things in, but it's really hard having only a few core people that we have in our region trying to do all this work keeping this club alive. Okay,
yeah.
So right now we have four core members, myself, Ed Deering, Jason Daly, and Chris Fredericks. Those are the four guys that put this club on.
Yeah.
Okay, we do everything in and out for this club, and... There's times when we want to do more. We want to do more. We want to get more people out here. But yet in the same sense, I can't put more work on these guys.
No, it's all volunteer operation.
It's all volunteers. Yeah. So,
How much money you made since you've been president?
more like lost money.
Yeah.
Right.
I gave a shout out in the last episode because Dean was working with him, watching the course, trying to show him, you know, what to be looking for.
Yep.
And so that was really, to me, that I was taking pictures behind him. But I was listening to him, and it was really cool to
hear
Ed getting quizzed by Dean about, what do you see?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, is being a safety steward, is what do you see?
Yeah.
Are you seeing anything that could possibly be dangerous?
Did you guys do the safe driving course at Mossville?
Dean was there for something.
You're talking about the Street Survival.
That's I saw something on
Street
social media.
Street Survival is actually done by the BMW Club.
Oh, okay.
They're great people over there.
BMW Woody, he's always pushing that.
Marty Urbank, who's one of the guys that really helps out with them. He was actually part of SCCA Club for the longest time. Still does help us out every so often. But that's kind of his baby and what he does. But Street Survival is great because Street Survival, they actually offer and give all these kids an SCCA membership for the year.
No kidding.
That's cool.
That's like part of the whole
– I should have sent my daughter out there.
Thing. Really cool.
So,
Where do you think it's going? I mean, I obviously the club's only a couple years old. The Champaign crowd looks pretty strong over there, but U of I is a whole different thing than Peoria is.
Yeah.
Are you guys growing, you think, or where
we're
we headed?
We're consistently growing. Actually, last year and so far this year, we were actually number three club that grew the most.
Oh, awesome.
For our size. So obviously they can't compare us to Chicago region, but
sure.
When they dial it down for size, we actually grew the third most out of all the clubs. So we're still growing. The problem I think that we're running into now is that it's getting harder and harder to find spots for us to do what we do.
Is so it the venue? Is it hard to get because of insurance? Is it liability?
No,
is it just permission?
SCCA is always got our back for insurance.
Okay.
Okay, so they cover insurance no matter what.
Nice.
It's finding a place to do it that allows us to – gives us that permission to get out there and go ahead and run. So.
Okay. What typically – I mean, giant big places with parking lots, I mean –
Lots of pavement
in decent condition too. That's the other thing.
The problem is that all these new parking lots that are and all the older parking lots that are getting redone. They're getting what we call beautified.
Yeah.
They get all these curbs and everything with trees or everything middle of them. And it's really taken away a lot of the sites that we could get into. So. Yeah.
I miss – I grew up years ago north of Chicago, kind of near Wisconsin border, like 2 minutes over the border. And one of the places that the Madison Sports Car Club that I used to run around with, they would always do AMC proving grounds. They had a bunch of old proving grounds up there. And it was just like miles of blacktop and it was – or cement. Mm-hmm. And they were different road surfaces and stuff. And they were always in great shape for Wisconsin, which I thought was fun. There was never a lack of places up there that we could run, and that was what was always great. And down here, it's a little harder because I mean, you've got Mossville, you got Rantoul, you got a couple other places that you guys have run. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think just is it a hassle of I don't want to give you guys the space in addition to like the places with curbs and kind of the
it's probably daunting for any business to say I'm going to let these guys come out here who I don't unless you have a personal relationship.
Mm.
Correct.
It's going to be tough to get people to sign off on letting you guys – because you don't even know who's going to show up. I mean, my biggest fear, let's just say I had a business and I had a lot of pavement. I'd be like, all right, Joe, I know you, but who are these 100 other yahoos are going to show up out here and
correct.
Do their thing?
And that's where myself as being the regional executive, I got to put the best foot forward and show them exactly what we do as a club and what SCCA does for the nation.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is really SCCA helps us out, and a lot of these places that we go to, they don't realize that we have the ability to actually repair lots through SCCA. SCCA will actually do like a grant money for us to repair lots if we've tore them up.
Well, we should race on Illinois roads.
There you go.
I got a plan, Pritzker.
There's your infrastructure plan.
Yeah.
Open all the roads.
So, I mean, it's really getting tough out there for autocrossers. It really is. Chicago is doing really well up there because they have the Route 66 raceway that they're able to use their parking lot.
It seems like the fallback is racetracks, and so you see a lot of
that's the thing. We don't have that in this area, so –
Gateway has a road course too, don't they?
Yeah, and they do some events down there with the St. Louis crowd.
St. Louis region does not all their autocross events, but 90% of them they do right there in the parking lot at Gateway.
And because that makes sense. You just do it right in the parking lot, even though the racetrack's on the other side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Autobahn has a lot of events too for the Chicago SCCA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they'll do half track days and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee does Miller Park a lot. I know they used to. I don't know. If they still
lost Miller Park, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So besides the challenges of venue, and we talked a little bit about getting new volunteers and people who want to kind of step forward and take some of the action. What are some of the other challenges facing your organization as far as recruiting members and fostering that next generation?
I think it's a lot of it is, like for myself, I mean, I got my daughter, she came to us saying that she wanted to do this. But most kids nowadays, they don't have any inclination of getting out and getting with cars. Okay, they're too busy being behind the TV playing the Xbox or the PS4, and they don't want to do anything like this.
You hear that so much, whether it's off-road stuff, classic car restoration, motorcycles. You hear that, and it's like
you just got to get them out though. Because I can tell you, my daughter got her out one time, And she was lecturing me about Father's Day. Why aren't we going? Why aren't we doing this? I'm like, well, it's Father's Day. So? I've already talked to Grandpa. It's okay. And I'm like,
let's do it.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. We just got back from vacation on Thursday. And the same thing with off-roading. You know, my son, he's like, why aren't we going to Badlands? Why aren't we going to Colorado? I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, but the thing is, you've got to push them. It's just like everything with kids. You've got to push them, take them out of their comfort zone, make them do something they don't want to do, and the next thing you know, it's just like eating a pickle. You know, I don't want to eat a pickle. It's gross.
Yeah, right.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. Before you know it, you're buying that giant deli-sized jar of claws and pickles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, kids got to get out of their comfort zone as parents and as adults. I mean, I think that's the best way.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome if there was like a car just sitting there to the side, say, this is for newbies. You know, we've donated this car, so you come out here and you can try and run, you know, the track or just have fun.
That would be really cool, but I could see a lot of insurance nightmare with that. Yeah, so, right.
Well, you sign off all the insurance. I mean, I guess if I don't know who the kid is sitting in my car, I guess I don't want to deal with that, right?
Yeah, it's no different than like, you know, the rental car you checked out a couple weeks ago.
So here's the thing, though. Okay,
my fishing mobile. Yeah.
Really though, how many of these kids nowadays do you think could even handle 16, 17-year-old kid get out there on an autocross and be able to handle it?
I'm jaded. I can't answer that question because I have a kid who can do it. So.
Yeah, you got cool kids, man. You guys both do. Yeah. But.
So, I mean, you really think about it, though. How many kids nowadays do you see on the interstate and somebody slams on their brakes right in front of them, and do they really know what to do?
No, because they're probably looking at their phone.
I was behind a Monocle's Pizza delivery. A young kid, probably summer job, right? Little Ford Fiesta delivery car. And I was going back from my lunch hour, and this dude, I didn't see his head the whole time. He kept going between the console. I think he dropped his phone or dropped probably something with the address.
Or a pizza.
And he was like down, the car was darting in and out. I was waiting for him to hit the curb or rear end the guy in front of him at the light. And I'm like, man, what are you? I mean, we all do stuff that's questionable once in a while. But I'm like, this dude, he would have been 16, 17 years old. Total first car, and it's on the job, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
it's kids nowadays just really don't have that same upbringing that we did. Okay, a lot of guys nowadays really don't work on their own vehicles.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for myself. I can't afford to take my car to a dealership sometimes, so I'm doing the work myself.
Yeah.
But especially with having my daughter racing in a national wheel-to-wheel series now. I mean, we're traveling once, twice a month for that. So we're out. We're doing all the work for everything ourselves. Yeah. So,
no, I think it comes down to parenting and influences. If you got an uncle, if you're a grandfather, and you got some teenagers, you can kind of get, just one time on the track, I tell you what, you can get – I'll bet every other kid that you would get in a car on a track like that, they might get smitten with it.
And
I think what would really help out too is having these parents bring their kids out to an event. They don't have to drive. You know what? My passenger seat, if it's open, grab a helmet, sign the waiver, let's go for a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take you for a ride and we'll show you exactly what it's all about. But I think that's the problem. Even the parents now really don't want to deal with cars.
Yeah,
it sucks. Everything sucks about that culture. I'm telling you, I'm tired of it. Tired of it.
So,
I sat in a Ford Focus. I tell you this. I think it was somebody's Focus. I'm pretty sure it was.
So
I rode as a pastor because the first three runs of the day I just totally blew. They're like, you want to ride with somebody? And so I rode with them. And I'm going to tell you what. I was thrown back in the seat. I was all over the place. I'm like, this was better than going to Great America or Six Flags.
Yeah.
You know, and this was just in a guy's car, you know, getting thrown around this track. I had
a Focus
for 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was smiling. I was, you know, ear to ear. I had a grin. So
now try riding to Jason Daly.
Yeah.
What's he got? What's his?
Jason Daly runs a 350Z that's pretty nicely built.
Sits about this low off the ground and does not flex at all.
And his car's not even fully built to the class yet. So,
okay.
I mean,
it's a fun ride.
It's a real fun ride. You know what? I take the car. Don't tell Jason this. Hopefully he's not listening, but
he is.
Whenever
we tried to get him on the show. Yeah. So, Jason, you're next.
So anytime that I have to do a safety run on the course, I grab Jason's car just because it's that fun to drive. So
awesome.
Cool.
So we talked about your Miata, and you have a Miata that's kind of prepped for autocrossing.
Yep.
What are some of the specs, year, motor size, all that fun stuff?
Okay, so I run a 97 R-package Miata. It is the rarest Miata ever produced.
Okay.
For that year of 97. It's a 1 of 47 car.
No kidding. Yes. 1 of 47 worldwide or U.S.?
1 of 47 worldwide.
Why, so why is that?
Because that year they stopped making that R production because they were dropping in sales. So the R package was their race package straight from the factory.
Okay.
Okay.
First-gen body style?
First-gen body style. Okay. It's actually the NA8. Okay. So it's the last year for the first-gen body style.
All right.
So runs the 1.8 motor, the 1.8 liter four-cylinder motor, but it is completely lightened to the tilt.
Hmm.
Okay. Anything and everything that was a creature comfort is not in this car. Okay. The only
So the
options,
lights are up. Did you remove the motors for the lights?
No, I can't remove the motors for the lights. That's illegal for the class.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Had to ask.
The lights are up. The lights are up because it has actually been proven that the intake for the engine is right underneath that left headlight.
Yeah.
And with the headlights up, you actually get about 2/10 more off your time.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
So running a street class is which I run. There's very little things that you can do to the car. So anything and everything that you can do, you have to do to the max.
I'm going to raise the headlights on my Celica the next time around.
See what happens. Shaving those times. What class is it?
So it's called E Street.
E Street, okay.
Okay, so E Street is any type of street class, you're allowed to change one sway bar, either remove, add, or upgrade.
Okay.
You can actually add associating hardware with that sway bar.
Okay.
All your bushings have to be stock bushings.
Can't be urethane.
Cannot be urethane bushings.
Okay.
You can change your shocks. You cannot change your springs.
Okay.
Okay. So you can change your wheel size by going up or down in diameter, but they have to remain the stock width. So with my Miata, it came with a 14x6 wheel on it. I went to a 15x6 because of more tire options. Okay. Doesn't matter what size tire you can put on there. If you squeeze, and it has been done by other national autocrossers in tire testing, putting a 245, like I think it was a 245 40 15 on a 15x6 wheel.
It barely fits.
I'm running a 225 right now.
This doesn't look that bad, though. I mean, it almost looks like a stock car rolling around there, so I don't notice that.
Mm-hmm. Bump stops is everything.
Yeah.
So since we can't change our springs, we have to change our bump stops, okay? Bump stops actually add spring rate to our springs.
Interesting. So there's a whole bunch of, I hate to say this because I was like a straight C math student, but there's a fair amount of math that's going into
it. Oh, there's
like
a
kind
ton
of flying
of math.
Just under the what's acceptable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of tire size, rim diameter, all that stuff.
Correct.
Obviously, the more you race, that's the practice because you can't just like go home and like go a quarter mile with this thing. You know,
see
if I'm shaving time off. I mean,
no.
You have to wait till you get to the track, see if what you did over the last week or two actually made a difference, right?
Yeah, it's seat time. Wow. And that's the hardest thing for autocrossers is because really when we go to an event, we got like 11 runs.
Yeah.
Sunday, okay,
that's
11 runs. That's a lot of runs,
yeah.
But at 60 seconds a run,
yeah.
So we really were looking at 11 minutes of.
He was more like 47, 46.
Yeah,
I was more like 52.
Okay. I was a 46.5. Okay, so
I think I was pretty good.
Yeah, I think I was 51.3.
Missy still beat me though. So what's the difference? So it's
probably a good husband. You probably let that happen, right?
Oh, hell no.
No. He's like,
I don't
not
care
even
who
pretend.
I beat as long as I beat her. And that's the same way she feels.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Is it a cold shoulder in bed when you go home if you beat her?
No, okay. Not at all.
All right.
So it's all good.
So I don't know if I need to be in a sport with my wife like that if I have to deal with marital strife.
But you really think about it, though. that's how she was brought up as well, is her whole family racing in SCCA.
Yeah.
Okay, so she was from 6 months old, she's been at the track with her mom, her brothers, and her dad at the time. So
what? Oh, it's fireworks.
It's got to be fireworks.
Fireworks. So,
yeah, that's what I'm telling myself.
Well, we're in North Peak, and nobody's getting popped in North Peak tonight. I don't think so.
I mean, and you really think about it. I mean, her mom, Carol, she's a great lady. I love her to death.
She may not be listening. You don't have to say anything about her.
No, I do. Okay. She's a 45-year SCCA member. 45 years she's been with SCCA.
That's crazy. That's a long and you time. Married into that.
And I married into this.
Wow.
Okay? Now,
there's probably – she probably had to quiz you. I mean, were you good enough to marry Missy in her eyes?
Right.
No, yeah. She never thought I was good enough. Nope. She told me that right off the bat.
All right,
so.
Then she's a normal mother.
Yeah, she's a normal mother.
She passes.
But
– what is she, does she still race today?
She does not race anymore,
okay.
But she's still the pit crew for my brother-in-law.
What did she come up racing? What was
she actually started racing – she raced circle track dirt cars.
Yeah.
All Volkswagens.
Okay.
Now, okay. She even raced Formula V's for a little bit herself, and then it just got to the time where her sons were coming up in it, so she kind of backed out of it, and she crewed for them.
She sounds like a great lady.
Yeah, we should have her on the show. I mean, you're cool.
Yeah.
You're cool, Joe.
Nice talking to you, Joe.
Yeah, thanks.
You got her number?
Yeah. Just kidding. Well, it sounds like you got a nice little setup, and you know, it's a good organization. We were talking with Dean about it. It's what would you say to somebody who's on the fence, who kind of, I think it'd be fun to get into, or at least I got a hot little car that I enjoy driving. I kind of want to take it to the next level, but I know I'm not that good. What would you say to that person who's listening to get them to come out to the track, at least try?
First of all, come out and try it. Doesn't matter what you've done to your car, there is a class for you. And with it being your first time out, you're going to be in a novice class. So you're not going to be running against us guys that have been running this and doing this for 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't worry about coming out and making a fool of yourself, because you're really not. You're coming out there and you're having fun. That's
trust,
what it's all about.
Me. I know all about that.
Okay? So, but the next thing I'd tell them is, if you're going to get into this and you want to get into this, call me, call Dean. I'm on Facebook. I mean, right on our website, CIR. SCCA.org. You can get a hold of me there. My phone number's on there.
Nice.
Ask me questions, okay? Don't just start making upgrades to your car because you want to do it.
I kind of did that. My shocks were blown. I mean, I had to do something.
So you did
that
before?
Your shocks were blown, but you didn't have to put coilovers on there.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
It bumped you up a class.
Toyota struts are too expensive anyway. I might as well get the coilovers.
You could have went with Coney Yellows, and that would have kept you in the street class.
I don't even care what class. I'm just out there to have fun. So
exactly. So I mean, that's what it boils down to. Are you out there to have fun?
Yeah.
Do you want to start doing this consistently all over the place? If you do, there's tons and tons of literature out there that you can learn, read up on. We had a gentleman out there Saturday, Tony Williams, never done autocross before. Used to work with him at a dealership years ago, got a hold of me, and he's like, well, I've been watching these videos and instructional videos on all cross. And then he gets to the track on Saturday, and he's like, first time he's out, he's off course. He's like, man, I didn't think it'd be this difficult.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sea of cones out there, people.
Oh, yeah, trust me, yeah.
But you just have to take your time and learn the course first and then start adding speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So and the thing is, just get with the guys who are doing it, and
we'll get you
in a seat. We'll get you out on the track, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You come on out. I mean, there's always somebody there that would ride with you, or even have you ride with them, so you can get used to it. I mean, we're always out there helping each other
out. They're terribly, terribly unfriendly guys. They're
horrible
personalities.
You know,
some of the worst people I've ever met have been at SCCA. No,
if that was true, I wouldn't be here.
No, I'm telling you, I have met more friendly people with SCCA than I ever thought possible. I mean, I talk about an accepting group. Nobody's judging anything. As a matter of fact, I've met some guys who are like, your car rocks. And I'm like, this car sucks. But you know, but no, everybody's super cool. So don't ever think that that there's an intimidation factor. There is, certainly, when you roll up there. The first time I came to Pekin, didn't know anybody, but a couple of my friends who were doing it, I still felt like I was being judged by everybody, but everybody was so nice just from the time of check-in. I knew that this was a welcoming community, and it's been that way now for years. I've done it for 3 years, and love everybody I've met.
And this is just the entry level.
Okay? Oh, yeah, I can't imagine if I would go out of town.
So just to give you an idea, okay, Nationals Autocross, which is held in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the first week of September, okay, opening day registration went open yesterday. It closed today because they were already packed full. 1,300 drivers.
Holy cow.
Okay.
Wow. What fun that would be to go check that out.
I was thinking like 1-200 people. It's a good
1,300 drivers over a full week of driving. Okay. They split it up. Half the classes run the first 2 days. The next
is that all volunteers running that?
That's all volunteers running that as well. Okay.
That's crazy.
It is nothing but a party after the racing is over.
September.
Road trip. Well, what's Lincoln from here? 8 hours?
8 hours.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'll book some time.
All right. We need to get moving on the show because people have said they got to go take a pee break. They're at their computer right now at work.
Oh. You know.
Is he done yet?
That works.
No, this is great, and thank you again. So we're going to move on to regular segments of the show. I think we got some Elon Musk stuff to talk about, and I know we definitely have some cars we've been studying this week.
Of course, as always.
May skip the riff zone, but let's see what we got here. Let me see if the mixer is set up for this.
Okay.
It is now time for your moment of Musk.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Live, local, and late breaking. This is July 2nd as we record this show. And as reported in Forbes magazine on the 2nd, Tesla makes good on Elon Musk's goal of recording quarterly results that are the top so far. Their roller coaster ride continues for the electric car maker. It rebounded with the weak deliveries that were going on in the first quarter, and now they have the best ever delivery. You know what? Blah, blah, blah. You know what? The stocks went up 7%. We don't care.
Who cares?
Here's the real story. Elon Musk spent $2 million here a short time ago funding a website called Thud. Has anybody at this table ever heard of Thud?
No.
Okay.
I've heard of Tronk,
anyway,
which is what Tribune renamed theirs. Stupid name, by the way.
A couple guys who were working at The Onion, Cole Bolton and Ben Berkeley, basically had built this website. They were going to do like faux art installations, satirical news programs, and other offbeat comedy bits. And Elon took the bait. He threw $2 million into this. And this is according to TheVerge.com. He threw $2 million into this project. $2 million is probably just falls out of his pocket. You probably didn't even notice, right?
Yeah. That's what he spent on lunch.
He spent money on Thud. Well, after a couple months of spending money on Thud, he decided that he'd had enough and he quit. And Thud had to go on their own at Thud.com and trying to make it on their own. And guess what? They've gone out of business.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. So that is your moment of Musk.
So, we could have actually pitched something to him and
We could have gotten $1 million, Daryl. And I don't know that it's over yet.
All right.
Let's just do a podcast about Mars, going to Mars.
Elon, if you're listening, you could also be a sponsor. And we'd actually produce something for you.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have something tangible or digital. Anyway. All right. So we're going to, in lieu of our riff zone, we're going to go right into Cars of the Week. Joe has been informed that Cars of the Week is where we break out the Bitcoin, the virtual wallet, and we talk about cars that we would buy if we had $1 million or $2,800,
right.
Anything in between that fits our fancy. Daryl, you got the coolest truck I've seen in a long time. Why don't you start this thing off?
I don't know about that, but it's a 78 Dodge Power Wagon pickup, and not the Power Wagon like you think, the old Korean War era, big beefy one. This is just basically like their D100 or D150, whatever they. I don't know what they call them, but they're medium duty truck. But it's a 4x4. It's a little short bed. And it's got a cool roll bar that matches, and like the tritone color, red on the top, yellow stripe, black on the bottom. And if anybody remembers the old TV show Simon and Simon,
yeah,
it's one of those detective shows, right? There was a there was like a bevy of awesome trucks. Like there was the Fall Guy, right?
Yes, yeah.
We had Simon and Simon.
But I'm thinking of TC's helicopter too for Magnum.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yes.
Same thing. And then you go, of course, you got the A-Team van. There were some cool rigs back in the day, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But Simon and Simon's Power Wagon, I love the older brothers. I thought that was just a beast. This kind of reminded me of that. So this is at a dealership in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's got a 383 and a manual trans. I think it's a 4-speed. It's a short bed, but it's got that roll bar, that 70s roll bar.
Yes.
The only thing it's missing, I didn't see any lights on it. It needs like those KC daylighters.
Definitely some KC highlighters.
Yeah, highlighters.
On them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I love those things. And just something that I noted, the asking price for this thing looks like it's got relatively new paint. It's probably been gone through, and hopefully it's a Southern truck, although, I don't know. It looks nicer than most of those of that vintage Dodge that I've seen. In an era where, your average truck costs $45,000-$50,000, $800-$900 a month, you can't really do much with it. They don't have as much style. Like, I think this would be the kind of truck that I would love to just have on the weekends and roll around in.
You haven't said the price. This price is stupid to me.
$7,800. But that's because down south, these are sitting in fields.
You think so?
I do.
Dude, this truck is sweet. For $7,800, I think you put it on the showroom floor.
Yeah.
I think it's sold.
You could get 15 out of it easy.
This thing, now, the paint could be like running all over the thing. We don't know what it looks like. It could be blowing smokes as you start it. But I'm going to tell you, the eyeball this thing's got for $7,800.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And a buddy of mine who restores old trucks says, he's like, they made millions of these things when they were new. They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. They're just, the ones here are crap. Mm-hmm. So everybody that buys I want an old truck, they'll get one out of a field here in, Manitou or, somewhere locally, and they'll put all new sheet metal in it and pans, rockers, all that stuff. They'll spend $25,000-$30,000 on sheet metal and the body restoration. He's like, you go to Arizona and get one of these for like $1,500 and bring it back. Yeah. So that's kind of the perspective. So $7,800, cool truck. We'll see.
Yeah, I think once again you're winning. Joe hasn't shown us what he's got here. So I found on Bring a Trailer this week. I found a 230 SL 1964 Mercedes Benz, the SL class. Sport coupe, I think, is what it always was. But we're all familiar with the 1971 plus SL class. Is that
right?
This is the long body, super flat car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was attuned it to like the rich couple in my small town who'd pull it out in the summer months, and the wife would drive with her bleach blonde hair, pretend like she was in Malibu, something like that. And those cars, it's like a 30-year body style in that car. It never went away. But pre-1971, this car was just a cute little car with rounded edges. It had some beautiful body lines. This car here, this one that's on Bring a Trailer, they've redone the interior with red leather. It's got a silver body paint.
Gorgeous. Silver and red. That's
see,
the
that's not my thing, but it's still a gorgeous car.
It's got the basically like the little KC highlights, the little European running lights on the front.
The Hella rally lights.
Oh, my God, man. So when I was on my honeymoon in Seattle 25 years ago, it was a yellow one I remember seeing. It was like a powder yellow or an off cream white or something. I remember seeing it. I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, it's a Mercedes. What is that? And back then, I think that car was probably $25,000-$30,000.
Sure.
Now this car sold today on July 2nd for $45,500, and I don't know if that's an outrageous price. I don't think that car's going down in value.
No.
Probably not.
I think that car might be a $100,000 car in 10 years from now.
Probably.
That's what they call the pagoda for some reason.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's because of the high roof line.
Yeah.
Because when you see them with the top up, and Mercedes, a lot of the German cars, they get the high glass line, right? Yeah. The roof line's tall. But for some reason, I think that's what they call the pagoda. Or that might be the 190 SL, but I think it's the same body style. Yeah.
This car is beautiful. It had been reworked. It's been repainted. I think the original color was, it might have been yellow or silver, because it's kind of like a gold color now. But
It's automatic, did it say? I think they were. I think you could still get a 4-speed in these guys up until that 72.3 whatever switch.
Being the Euro model, you have to wonder if maybe it was a manual, but hard to say.
Gorgeous car.
But, anyway, so I was enamored with that one this week.
Yeah.
I would have bought that with my virtual wallet.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Joe, what do you got?
Now, for myself, okay, coming from a whole racing family, I got to go with the race car, okay?
Yeah. All right.
So I found a 2004 Formula Mazda, okay? A Formula Mazda is basically a mini Formula One car.
Come on, Daryl. You should.
It's too new. It's too new.
Formula Mazda is a great little car. Okay, it's like a little mini Indy car, but it uses a 12A rotary engine with a Volkswagen transaxle behind it that they add on a section to give you a 5-speed.
Huh. I do know what these are. Yeah, they're like little mini small Indy cars.
Yes.
Rear engine, right?
Rear engine. Actually, mid-engine.
Mid-engine, okay.
Mid-engine, rear-wheel drive because they're swapping the differential and the transaxle. That's a little bit newer.
Okay.
This is a race car.
This is a full-out race car,
this is
okay?
Here's the thing. You're allowed to look at cars like this. Daryl and I can't look at cars like this.
No.
The wife would be like, are you going to be able to drive it to work?
Right. That's not practical. That's my wife's favorite.
All right, go on. Sorry to interrupt you.
It's a really good deal. So they're asking $22,000 for the car. It comes with a bunch of extra wheels. I think it comes with 4 sets of wheels, an extra tranny. The engines are all sealed motors, so you can't do anything with the sealed motors. They're all built by one guy, and he gives you like a year warranty on these engines.
No kidding. Is it called Formula Mazda because Mazda was the sponsor, or they designed it?
It's called Formula Mazda because it runs the rotary engine.
Okay.
So what – I thought Jeff Green was in a Mazda series or something like that, right?
Yes. That's the first time I heard of those because they were talking
Green
about
Jeff Green was
Mazda.
In a
– it was a Lotus or something, wasn't it? No.
Mm. A Lola, like L2000 or something
but
like
it
that.
But it was a Mazda series, I thought.
He raced Formula Mazdas, I think, like as well. Okay. I think he was into those.
Was it
part of a circuit?
Formula Mazda is actually part of the SCCA wheel-to-wheel circuit called the Majors, okay?
So pretty heavy hitter stuff, right?
Not really, though. No? These are all just down-to-earth guys. So, I mean, like the Formula V, like my brother runs.
Okay,
so Formula V is like your entry level, and then it kind of goes Formula V, Spec Miata. Spec Miata is another easy one to get into, and then Formula Mazda is kind of next one up.
All right.
Okay. A little bit pricey to get into to begin with, but once you get into it,
That's cheaper than a Corolla.
Yeah.
And you get a second set of tires.
Yeah.
So where's it at?
This is actually on Racing Junk. Thank you.
Okay.
Racingjunk.com.
And totally where's it located at? Do you know?
I believe this one was down in Georgia.
So when are you getting it?
as soon as I can get the daughter into it, put it that way.
Oh, that's how I got a lot of my good cars.
Yeah.
I said, the daughter needs this.
No, and see, that's the thing. For us, that's probably what she's...
The daughter does need it.
It's true.
Yeah. So...
That's not bad. Okay, so Formula Mazda, I learned something, and so about 22, 20?
Yeah, 22, 24, I think is what it was.
That's what they go for?
Yeah.
All right. So when you're not searching for full-on spec race cars, is that pretty much all you search for? Or?
No. The other one I had was a 1971 Bosch 302.
Ooh.
This was actually up in Wisconsin. And I showed it to Eric right before.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful fastback. Car, white, fastback, had like a resto mod done to it. Really, really cool looking car. I think that one was going for, 22?
Yeah. That's
22 or 24.
Price.
Yeah. It's really, really decent price for that year Mustang. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, my uncle had a Boss 351, a 71. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me. We're talking about like things like imprints, you know, when you're a kid. I was 4 years old, and he just rebuilt the motor in the thing. And I remember running, sitting on my dad's lap in the passenger seat, running down the street with the hood off and steam running off.
Yep.
The Dupli-Color was baking on.
Yep.
And I remember just hearing the sound of that thing and the secondaries opening up and just ripping down the street, watching the trees turn into blurs. And I'm like, this is neat. It's all about imprinting. If you got kids or you know somebody who's kind of a young impressionable person, don't get them hooked onto stuff that's going to cost them tons and tons of money and kill themselves with. Get them a car instead.
Get them interested in cars. Get them a cart.
Get them a cart.
Get them a cart.
Much safer. Yeah.
All right. I think that's all we got for the show tonight, Daryl. Anything else we missed?
I don't think so. Joe Feaster, thanks so much for coming with and just hanging out and talking shop a little bit. This has been a blast. And, you know, sometime, I don't know if you and Dean get in the same room, if you guys just spontaneously combust or whatever, but you guys are both
it gets pretty rowdy, so we got to watch it sometime.
You guys are both super, super cool guests, and we appreciate you taking the time coming out talking
to us. Not a problem.
All right. Yeah. Thanks again, Joe. Again, our website is throwingwrenches.com. Our email address, Daryl?
It's info@throwingwrenches.com.
Good job, Daryl.
And Joe, how can folks get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me through Facebook, Joe Feaster. That's F-I-S-T-E-R.
Like Fister.
Yeah, like Fister. But they can get me a hold on Facebook. Also on our website at cir-scca.org. Also our Facebook page, which is CIRSCCA on Facebook. If you're interested in carts, you can always check out my daughter's YouTube page and her Facebook. So
awesome!
If you can't get through to any of that, you can always reach out to Daryl and I. We'll definitely get you hooked up.
Yep. Exactly.
All right.
We'll link to it on the post too.
Yep.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again to our sponsors, KC Law Office, CLOPeoria.com, and Forts Toyota, Toyota-Pekin.com. Appreciate the support. We appreciate you listening. Have a good night.
See you next time.